Hello and welcome to the Post Up Podcast. This is Cyrus Rogers. As always, I'm here with Kaunda Chama. We are doing our thing on what is going to be our end of term, end of season podcast. We're going to be taking a break for a couple of weeks after this. But it's been a heck of a ride so far. Kaunda, how you doing?
I'm great, man. It's always good to be back on this mic and, you know, talking basketball.
This is what we do the best. I mean, you know, we love ball. We love talking about basketball. And bring the Post Up Podcast to everybody really just fills the heart with joy. Let's give you all of our social media handles. First and foremost, we are at Post Up Podcast on Twitter, at Post Up Zone on Instagram, and at Post Up Zone on Facebook. We'd like to thank our partners, Supersport.com, BetCoza, and the Podhouse. This week's podcast, we're going to be talking about something that's kind of interesting.
Interesting. Look, at least can you exit the room? I'll do the rest of the show by myself.
You can do that, but I don't think you will have as much sauce as I bring. We're going to be talking about, shall we call it, five stories and storylines to keep an eye on in the off season.
Yep.
As teams start to build their rosters, as they start to form their identities for the new season, there's going to be at least five stories with a couple of add-ons, because you know Kaunda doesn't like the number five. He likes to have, you know, sidebars and a few honorable mentions.
That's what I do.
It is what you do, and many people like that. But I think the thing is, we're going to be talking about five stories to keep an eye on this off season, just to see what's happening around the league. And we'll kick it off with one of the big ones, which is what is going to happen with Donovan Mitchell. I think it's a big, big story because, you know, him potentially leaving the Utah Jazz. I mean, the Jazz look like they're really blowing it up. They're trying to rebuild that entire roster from scratch with the departure of Rudy Gobert. They're really just looking to sell off all their assets, and Donovan Mitchell going to the Knicks seems to be the main storyline during the rounds at the moment. What do you think about what will happen with Donovan Mitchell?
Look, Cyrus, I mean, if you look at the entire Jazz squad, right, it's been okay, but it hasn't been one to write home. I mean, who we got there? Bojan Bogdanovic, a vet in Jordan Clarkson, and Rudy Gay. Now Pat Bev is there. Mike Conley. I mean, Cyrus, really, that team, the heart and soul was a combination of obviously the Stifle Tower in Rudy Gobert and Donovan Spider Mitchell. And now you take away one piece. I think Donovan himself finds himself feeling kind of lost, like, where to now? But the thing is, don't you think he's the kind of player the Utah Jazz could build a team around?
Potentially, and I think that's why, like, they're keeping their options open.
Yeah.
But if they are rebuilding and trying to go a bit younger, maybe the whole thing. I mean, he is young. There's no question. There's no question. I mean, how old is the guy? He's like 25. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're drafting like 26 or rather 20, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, mm-hmm. you know, a 25-year-old in that roster, you know, a lot of people look at that and say timelines, he's going to be at his peak when they're still just sort of learning to see what's up. So yeah. I think they're trying to, the Jazz that is, and Danny Ainge as the president mm-hmm. Of basketball operations there, they're trying to build an entire team from scratch. And, you know, Mitchell would be a nice to have, but I think you can see where they're looking at it from timeline perspective to say
yeah.
he's just a little bit too old for where we might go with youth. They've got a couple of guys in, like they've got Walker Kessler back from Minnesota in that Rudy Gobert trade. Mm-hmm. They drafted Johnny Juzang, who's a really interesting player from UCLA. Really liked him, not this past season, but the season before last.
Yeah.
And so it's just a question of what they do going forward. And I think that when you look at it, they don't have a heck of a lot of really young players. Like Nikhil Alexander Walker's there, and he's somebody with some potential, you know, could get better. But then you have to get rid of, like you say, the Rudy Gays, the Mike Conleys, and Donovan Mitchell would be the prize asset. And if they're going to try and get draft picks, and particularly good draft picks, they'll need to use somebody like Donovan Mitchell to get those. Now, I think that for the Jazz, in a rebuild space, they're looking at this saying, yeah, they've got to we've got to make the most of the opportunity that we have right now. Mm-hmm. And the haul of picks and the haul of players that they got from Minnesota for Rudy Gay, they're going to want something Rudy Gobert.
They still have Rudy Gay.
Yeah, Rudy Gay's still there for now. Rudy Gobert, I mean. They're going to look for a package, maybe not the same, But something similar, because, you know, Donovan Mitchell is a really talented player.
Yeah.
I don't think he's an all-star, but...
not yet.
But, you know, he's not of the same stature as a Rudy Gobert, who's won 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards, you know, is a 2-time all-star now. Yeah. You know, there's a reason why Rudy Gobert goes for what he goes for. Now, Donovan Mitchell to the Knicks. Do you like that fit? I mean, that's the story that's doing the rounds right now.
Look, I don't mind it at all, Cyrus, because I'll tell you one thing. The Knicks need a proper point guard. They need somebody who's a playmaker.
Didn't they just sign one?
Well, Donovan Mitchell is... I rate him pretty highly. He's not yet an all-star, like mm-hmm. we just pointed out, but I think he's a star point guard in his own right.
Yeah.
And obviously with them letting go of Kemba, mm-hmm. They created that position where they can get a point guard like Donovan Mitchell who can facilitate as well as score.
Yeah, but you know? They've just signed Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, well, but would you put... okay, he had a standout season last season. Let's give it to him, right?
We're so bad on Donovan Mitchell. He's a 3-time All-Star.
Is he a 3-time?
So bad.
Oh, wow. Can we take that back, Donovan? We're so sorry.
He's a 3-time All-Star.
But Cyrus, he's a star guard. I mean, I'll give it to Jalen Brunson. Outstanding season, good performance in the postseason, right?
Yeah.
But Donovan Mitchell is Donovan Mitchell.
But Mitchell is a shooting guard. He's listed as a shooting guard. He's been playing point.
But he can play point. Yeah. He can play. So he's what you call a combo, right?
Yeah. So this is the thing for me, though, is that... like.
So imagine playing both of them, then.
That's probably it.
That would be great.
That's what a lot of people are talking about. And then they're saying, but Donovan Mitchell at 6'1", and Jalen Brunson at similar size is not giving you much size at your you know, from a defensive perspective for your guard. So, you know, defensively, that might be a bit of a problem for teams. And Mitchell hasn't been giving his all on defense the last few seasons. So, you know, there are concerns around what he'd be able to give a team. His scoring, definitely. I mean, he's a 3-time All-Star, obviously. So he's somebody who has got real... And sorry, let me not forget this. He's also the 2018 Slam Dunk Contest champion.
Absolutely. So he gets up there.
But he's never been on an All-NBA team. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's one of those where he needs to take another step up. And I think that's where people look at this thing and say, okay, fine, the Knicks would be doing the Nickiest thing ever, which is to sign gods that can't guard. And
but look, let's not forget the impact of a change of environment. And I know the Knicks environment hasn't been known to be one of the greatest environments, but sometimes a change of environment can bring out a different you, and maybe that's what Donovan Mitchell needs.
Yeah.
You know, like, look what happened to Andrew Wiggins.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. And
Wiggins... He goes to the Warriors.
The right environment, his skill set is utilized effectively, and then he becomes a champion because of it. So I'm with you. And I think the other thing is that New York needs star power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all due respect to Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell is a star.
Yep.
So, you know, he would light up, Madison Square Garden, and people would be like, okay, wow, we're going to watch the Knicks and Mitchell and Brunson.
Yep.
And then, you know, it's just a question of what the Jazz would get back. And I think this is where, when we say look out for these storylines, it doesn't necessarily always have to be New York. They're the front runners. There's no question that a lot of the press is happening that way. But the Jazz are looking for good draft picks. And if Mitchell going to the Knicks then makes New York a lot better, those draft picks aren't as valuable as if he went to like a bad team,
mm-hmm.
Where you're like, okay, fine, he's just one good player on this team. Our draft picks here will definitely net us something.
Yeah.
So that's a storyline to look out for. Do you think any other teams should be taking a sniff around? Because I've seen stories around Miami Heat. Saying, yeah, they're keeping an eye on Donovan Mitchell.
Well, Miami, obviously, Pat Riley did mention earlier that, you know, he's trying to make moves, trying to get some talent to bolster that roster. So he wouldn't be a bad fit there. And now that you've mentioned, and I know this probably wouldn't happen, but now that you've mentioned that he can play the shooting guard position, what about the Portland Trailblazers, who are without one CJ McCollum, who went to NOLA?
Not a bad call.
But the thing is, we have the same problem you've just mentioned in New York, because Dame is not the tallest guard, and neither is Donovan Mitchell.
I'm with you.
But he would, if you look at that Portland roster and that, you know, shooting guard position that they have available, if you will, Portland wouldn't be a bad place to land, right?
And the other thing is, they went and signed Gary Payton II.
Okay.
So he's on that roster. Anthony Simons is there. If you had a backcourt of Damon and Donovan Mitchell, you know, it's not bad. From a scoring perspective, it's exciting.
From a defensive perspective, it's a bit of a liability, these guys just can't work.
Yeah, but then you've got a Gary Payton II who can come in and give you those defensive minutes. So, you know, it's just that what do you do with an Anthony Simons who seems to be on the way up? And I think that Portland will look at this and say, do we need to do that? And what would they have to give up? Because I don't think, they might look at Mitchell and say, maybe this is where we say, Simons, you go in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Utah will get you, and we'll give them some of our draft equity.
But like you said, Anthony Simons has got the potential to become a future Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
So with age as a factor, I think they would rather keep Anthony than take a Donovan. Yeah.
Possibly. But then it also comes down to them leaning on Dame and saying, look, Dame is 32 years old.
Yeah.
If we get him a ready-made replacement as opposed to somebody who's still working his way up, maybe. I must say, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. We'd have to look at what the numbers would look like and all of that stuff. But, you know, that kind of makes sense to me, too. And the difference being, Donovan Mitchell is not CJ. He's not a spot-up shooter. He drives to the hole. You know, he's one of those. And he can handle the rock better than CJ could, or rather looked to when he was in Portland. Mm-hmm. CJ's handle isn't necessarily the greatest. But then, you know, you've seen what he's done at New Orleans. And he's looking good. So I think Donovan Mitchell and the Blazers, I kind of like that.
Yeah, Cyrus, I mean, I'll take a long shot because Colin Sexton is still a free agent, right?
Yeah, he is.
And Donovan Mitchell to the Cavs alongside my man Darius Garland.
You know, the Cavs would also be an interesting one. I think that the problem with Sexton is that he'd have to, I think it would be a sign and trade. I'm not sure what the mechanics of that would be because, you know, he'd need to get his new contract, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But Mitchell on the Cavs is also quite a nice combo, him and Garland. And, you know, when you look at what they could do together.
And they're both ferocious guards, Cyrus.
And the other thing is that you've then got Mobley and Allen giving you that offensive core as your sort of big man in the paint.
And your favorite vet, Kevin Love.
Giving
that inspiration that they need.
Yeah, but then it's a question then of what can Cleveland offer?
Yeah.
I like the way you're thinking, Kanda. I like the way you're thinking. You know, it's funny you say this because one of the things, like, I always look at these teams and say, who could actually really benefit from having somebody like a Donovan Mitchell? And where could he shine?
Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly, a bad team with some relatively good draft equity potentially being able to do stuff. What about the Washington Wizards?
The Washington Wizards.
Bradley Beal, Donovan Mitchell, backcourt. Not saying they'll do anything, but, you know, it'll be like Wall and Beal again. It'll be, you know, Mitchell and Beal.
Yeah, Russ and Beal.
You know,
so you're just playing around with Beal's feelings.
Yeah,
again,
but
right?
This is what Beal's the one who keeps signing there, bruh. Okay, it's not on anyone else.
It's like, let's see what we can try with Bradley Beal this season.
I mean, you know, if there's one other place that I'd love to see them try and take a bit of a shot, but I don't think it really work, would be Toronto. You know, I think that they'd look at their guys and Fred VanVleet and just think, you know, Mitchell would be great. There's no question,
mm-hmm.
but it might be taking them in a different direction.
Yeah.
So, you know, interesting picks. I think that people should definitely be looking out for the Donovan Mitchell stories.
Yeah.
Now, Kanda, what's the next one we're going to talk about?
Lakers. You had to put me in the firing line.
It's what I got to do, bro. It's what I got to do. So
The Los Angeles Lakers. The good thing about the Los Angeles Lakers, before we even get into them, is they've gone younger, which is a good thing for me. I mean, Steph Curry made me laugh at SP Cyrus. He said, because the Los Angeles Lakers like old guys so much, why don't they just give Dikembe Mutombo a 10-day contract?
Jeesh.
Stephen Curry was on fire.
This is what happens when a guy wins his fourth ring and literally he feels like he can burn it to the ground. It's okay. I got enough friends.
Yep, it's fine. If you don't want to come to my party, I'm fine.
It's all good.
The other guys are already in the pool. You stay at home.
But in terms of the Lakers, though, I mean, there's a lot of different storylines. What should we be looking out for going into the off season, and then, you know, obviously building into preseason and in the season itself?
Look, Cyrus, the rumor mill is that the big three, who's LeBron, Russ, and Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis, met up, and somehow there was...
Had a phone call.
Sorry, had a call. I thought that they had it up. My bad. And it seems to be that they said, look, let's run it back. Let's try it again. Mm-hmm. Maybe this time it will work. Look, the Russell Westbrook experiment, as most people call it, as we all know, didn't work. But then again, it's not all on Russ.
No, I'm with you on that.
The other pieces they assembled, who they thought they were the Avengers, were actually the old people in the movie Cocoon.
They're going to be swimming in other people's pools. I see what you did there. That analogy to swimming in the pool, all of that. Yeah, wow.
So,
I like that.
It just didn't work. But
We're showing our age calendar.
Yeah, absolutely. But Cyrus, I like what they've done in that THT seems to be there. Talen Horton, Tucker, Kendrick Nunn, Austin Reeves. And then bringing in Lonnie Walker, to me, is a good move. Stanley Johnson. We got Damian Jones, who has also played for the Warriors, right?
Yeah, so he's
got a bit of Steve Kerr in him. Now, me, one of the most significant moves was bringing in Thomas Bryant, who's been a Laker before briefly.
Like that.
And I think the fact that the Lakers tried to bring in old big guys,
old big guy.
Trevor Ariza is an old big guy.
And
then we had Dwight Howard, who's now getting to become an old big guy who had not as a slight.
When you say big guys, you mean like big in stature or big in name?
No, big in stature, like
because Ariza's not quite the biggest, but he's a big guy.
You understand what I mean? He's not a small guy. So now you got the likes of Thomas Bryant in who's nice and big and you know, but athletic because he's still young.
Yeah, he's had some injury issues, but I like Thomas Bryant. He was really good in Washington.
Good.
And when you say Damian Jones, you must say two-time NBA champion Damian Jones.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, even if I even represent the continent, Wenyen Gabriel.
Yeah, I like Wenyen Gabriel.
He doesn't look too bad. He can learn. And I think for me, they need some shooters around LeBron because obviously it's still LeBron's team.
But that's always been the case, right?
Yeah.
So what you're saying from a storyline perspective, right? So obviously we talked about the Lakers big three having a call saying yes, we'll run it back. There are other rumors with people saying LeBron is like, I'm sick of this Russell Westbrook thing. He got to get out of here. And then the Lakers saying we're not giving up draft picks to get anybody here. Those draft picks are when you're long gone, LeBron. And it's just not worth us making that investment. So there's a lot of different stories happening around the Russell Westbrook move or no move.
Yeah.
But then you say, you know, they need shooters. So I saw some stories about Buddy Hield is back in the picture.
That's where I was going to go because the around the rumor mill again is the story of Buddy Hield, the potential Buddy Hield acquisition. And I think he would make a great addition to the Lakers in that when we say we need shooters around LeBron, that's the kind of shooter you need.
Yeah.
Because Buddy Hield can catch and release easy. And he knows how to position himself, spread the floor. You know, he's a seasoned player. We saw what he did in Sactown, you know, in Sacramento. He was great before going over to Indiana. So, Cyrus, I think the Russell trade should be something to watch. I don't know if it really will happen. You know, there were talks once upon a time of the John Wall, Russell Westbrook, then that didn't happen and he went to the other LA team. Let's see what happens. But if the big three say they can run it back, let's see if they can.
Running it back could just be coming back to the party again. It doesn't necessarily mean being better.
Look, a healthy AD, a healthy Anthony Davis for me, changes a lot of things in this squad. I mean, he was definitely missed. I mean, Anthony Davis for me, if you ask me today, and I'll say this with my chest out, he's one of the top 10 players in the NBA at the moment. If I was to put my top 10.
But like you said, when fit.
When fit, yeah. When fit.
Look, it's hard to argue that.
And when he's not taking months off from touching a basketball, like, yeah, he is one of the top 10 players in the NBA.
But this is the thing for me around AD. You know, I've been one of his biggest fans for a long time.
Until he put on a Lakers jersey, yes.
There was that. But then, you know.
In NOLA, I literally loved him.
Yeah.
When you were in NOLA, I think there are pictures out there of you hugging him.
Nobody talks about those pictures. No, but honestly, though, the thing about AD is that I do think he's got the skill set and the ability to be one of the best players in the NBA when he's fit, locked in, and all of that stuff. We haven't seen that AD in a few years now.
Yep.
And that's been one of the biggest issues.
There was the bubble. There was a bubble. As I say, champion AD.
A few years. That was in 2020. We're in 2022 going into 2023. So
when you meant a few, you literally meant
a few. Yeah. Okay. You know, so
I got you.
And even the bubble itself is an interesting one because it's not like he was playing intense 82 game basketball. You know, everything shut down and he was able to sort of rest. And then he was at his best.
Was he the only one resting?
So was LeBron James.
Everybody was resting. So was Steph. So was everybody.
Yeah, I hear you with all of that. Everybody was resting, but that's not my point. My point is his body. I'm not talking about excuses for Steph. You don't have to be out here trying to, you know, be like the Lakers won it legit.
We've heard it all. I'm talking about
AD's body, and the fact that he wasn't under as much strain physically. In that bubble space, because it's not an 82 game season, and it wasn't the same NBA finals process, or rather playoffs process. So, you know, with that being said, if AD can maintain his body in the right way, and, you know, I don't think he's lost anything in terms of the ability to hoop. Yeah, I agree.
I think he's rested enough.
I agree with you. So let's see. Let's hope his body holds up. So that's what we got to look out for. Storylines is Russell Westbrook potential move. Or how well he does while he sticks around. And then AD.
The potential Buddy Hield arrival. Maybe. Just maybe.
Look, we'll see. Yeah. I'm just interested because the Lakers have to give stuff up in order to get Buddy Hield in. And Russell Westbrook ain't that guy. The problem really is if he ends up going to the Pacers, which it's not an impossibility. It's a question of what the Lakers get back, because I think the idea of Buddy Hield is great, but they have to match salaries with a couple other players. Is that other player Miles Turner? Does that help them? Possibly. If so, does that mean AD is going back to playing the four? What is the fit if you've got Russ this? Well, if you've got LeBron, Lonnie Walker, Buddy Hield. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be.
Just give us Tyrese Halliburton.
I mean, that's not going to happen. you know, it's one
Tyrese
of those.
Halliburton.
And this is the crazy thing about what happens with Lakers Twitter and Lakers fans. They start making up these trades where all of a sudden people want their trash and give them their treasure. It's not how it works, Calendar.
Just give us Tyrese
Halliburton, you know. Shucks, I mean, you only just got him last year.
He doesn't even fit into that.
You know, what do you even know about him? You know?
I mean, he was out west. We know out west.
in the same state, you know.
Yes,
he was in Cali, so yeah.
You know.
But no. Okay, we're going to move off the Lakers. I do think that, the Russell Westbrook storyline really is the one to keep an eye on. And there might be one or two other pieces around that, but I think, Russ is definitely the one, and we'll keep an eye on that. Then the next one for me is the Nets. You know, going from one absolute calamity in the Lakers to switching coasts on the Calamity Express, because you got the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets, and everything happening and not happening with them. You know, KD requests a trade. There's a whole bunch of shuffling of deck chairs on the Titanic. Is the ship going down? What are they going to get back? Then all of a sudden nothing's happening, and then KD and Kyrie are potentially coming back. Nobody knows what's happening there. And I think that in particular, the Nets recruitment will be what's happening, and also the Nets happiness. I think if as a storyline, that's the one thing everybody got to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
What is going to happen with the Nets? Will KD and Kyrie say, you know what, let's bury this hatchet. Kyrie, play out this contract. You can become an unrestricted free agent next season, and then you can sign for whatever team you want, and there's no issue, and we get a chance to try and duke it out of the teams in the East. Or do you think maybe they'll wait till, you know, the trade deadline where it's like, okay, fine, we're just getting whatever we can now, and we've seen what we've got? Because the other part of this is the Ben Simmons part.
Yeah.
Which is, what does Simmons look like And if, for instance, KD, Kyrie are still on this team at the beginning of the season, which looks more likely than not,
mm-hmm.
and Ben Simmons is back actually balling,
mm-hmm.
that big three becomes a really interesting one with Kyrie, Simmons, KD.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what are your thoughts around the Nets? Do you think that there's a likelihood that they'll still shift stuff before the season starts? Because it seems like they want to try and get, you know, sort out the KD deal before they do anything with Kyrie.
Look, Cyrus, first of all, let's go back on the timeline.
Yeah.
When did KD request a trade? Was it before or after he found out that Kyrie was coming back?
It was after. It was after.
So that tells you something. He does not want to play with Kyrie.
I'm not sure if that's the case, Kate.
That is the case. Cyrus, let me tell you something. The inavailability, the inconsistency, the mood swings, call it what you want.
Mm-hmm.
They got the better of James Harden.
Yeah, I mean, that is without question.
And then
yeah.
at the end, I think even KD was like, you know what? This is not what I came for. And then I don't care where the dude comes or goes, I'm out.
Look,
because
how it looked.
Okay, that's how it looks to me. And I think KD, he's one of those players, when he wanted out of OKC, he got out.
Yeah,
he wound up in Golden State. When he wanted out of Golden State, I don't know what was happening. We all thought it was him and Draymond going at it, but obviously it was other reasons as well.
Yeah.
He got out. And I think he's the kind of guy who's like, you know what? I want to hoop. I've got two championships. I've got an MVP. I've got an Olympic gold medal. I've got a sneaker endorsement. I've got everything a baller dreams of. And an MVP mom.
Yeah.
What more do I need?
MVP.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Look, I
the
get
kind
you.
Of mom that would scream at PJ Tucker from the sidelines. You know what I mean? So what does he really need? Nothing from the Nets at the moment, especially he has to put up with Kyrie's back
maybe
and forth.
A little bit of respect.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T? I go with that. And then he thinks to himself, so there's Ben Simmons. What was Ben Simmons at the Sixers?
Mm.
Another liability. Cyrus, I'm sure he's looking around and thinking, why do I feel like these walls are caving in?
So I
got to get out.
I get you there, Kay, and I'm not even wholly disagreeing with you. But there's another side to this where some people say KD's issue isn't even with Kyrie in the sense that he wanted Kyrie to make his decision. Kyrie opted in, and he's like, right now, all of that business is done. I'm going to start with my stuff, which is I need to get out of here. It's not necessarily that it's Kyrie. It's more that it's like this organization has just not turned out to be what I wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they've bent over backwards for him, Kyrie, and even James Harden, but specifically for him and Kyrie, by bringing James Harden in, by bringing in Steve Nash, allowing Kyrie to take naps when, you know, they've got road games, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
They as an organization drew the line around the vaccination stuff. And that then cost them as a team because, not just that. I mean, also the New York City ordinances were what they were. So Kyrie couldn't play, but Kyrie also made that decision.
Yeah.
And so, the rest of the team, I mean, one thing that we keep forgetting in all of this is we talk about it being Kyrie's decision, and it is, and there's no question of that. But when you look at the rest of his teammates and all of them opted to get the vaccine in order to play games, we're talking about the biggest name being Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
If KD can do it, why can't you? Might have been one of the things that is also simmering under there. So no one knows if they're boys. No one knows if they're not boys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, rumors are that, they get along, wanted to play together, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But you know what it's like. You know, you want to work with somebody, then you work with somebody, and then you're like, wow, you're a better friend than a colleague.
Yeah, kind of like this podcast.
It happens like that, Calendar. I want all of my jerseys back. kind of like this podcast. Yeah, he's killed himself. Yeah, kind of like Kyrie Irving. But the point that I'm trying to make here, though, is I don't necessarily think Kyrie's opting in was the reason why KD decided to leave. I think he was like, let Kyrie take the time he needs to make his decision. There was a deadline that needed to be met, and Kyrie opted in on that deadline.
So you mean, your understanding is that regardless, KD was going to bounce.
That for me seems to be the most logical thing. Regardless, like you say, of the Ben Simmons stuff. But the other difference here, and this is why it's also a bit of a storyline in terms of, will they, won't they, is that in those other instances, like you look at the OKC space, they were almost forced to trade KD because he only had so much time left on his contract. You look at the Golden State one, it was exactly the same thing. His contract was done. He did a sign-and-trade in order to go so that he left the Warriors with the ability to sign some peeps.
Yeah.
Case in point being D'Angelo Russell from the Nets. So this is different because he just signed an extension.
An extension, yeah.
So he's at the beginning of a four-year deal. He has no leverage in this other than, I want to go.
I want to go, yeah.
And they'll be like, well, that's all well and good, but you just signed a new contract. We can keep you here. We know you'll be unhappy, but let's see how unhappy you will be. You know, so there's a bit of a game of chicken that could happen. So that's why I think there might be more to this in terms of just get KD out of here immediately. Mm-hmm. They're trying to find the best deal for them, and that's going to be the storyline.
Okay.
So, next one.
But I think we should watch that closely because bigger surprises have happened, right? We
yeah,
might just start the
dude.
Next season and then it's like KD plays in Miami or in, I don't know.
Maybe
he plays...
Anything's
I mean, hasn't
possible.
He been working out in Portland?
Dude, maybe. I think so. But
I've seen videos of him in Portland, but he's allowed to travel
yeah,
where he wants to go.
We're going to start seeing videos of him training in... in Oklahoma City, and all of a sudden, like, oh, KD back in OKC, you know? I mean,
hey, look,
anything's possible.
Would that be such a bad move if you think about the youngsters
KD,
that there?
If I was KD, I'd go and work out in Boston, Milwaukee, Toronto, Chicago. Like, I'd make everybody think something. I even go to Washington, you know? You know, be like, yeah, KD, he was spotted in Memphis. He had a hoagie, you know?
So it's like, where's KD this week?
Where's Wally? Where's KD? KD has suddenly been seen in Sacramento.
Oh my word.
But I do think it's something to it might be nothing, and I tend to think it is nothing because what would the Nets accept from Portland?
Dude, the Nike Center is there. He just went
what
to see
would
his
the,
new sneaker.
No, exactly.
He just went to see his
exactly.
new sneaker. That's
about he was breaking them in.
Yeah, he was like,
okay.
What's
so,
my new sneaker?
So what's the next one? Because we talked about this team.
Yep.
We could talk about Miami Heat. I'll hand this one over to you.
Miami Heat, Cyrus, what could be happening? I mean, Pat Riley did mention that he's looking at some moves and acquiring some pieces because I think if we look at the last three seasons, the Miami Heat have been great, Cyrus.
They've been good as a team.
They just haven't managed to,
take that next jump.
It's always been like, they meet a picket fence and then they got to stop. And it's not even the tallest picket fence.
Yeah.
They're out of breath. And
like Jimmy Butler
Jimmy
in the
Butler
bubble.
Leaning over the digital advertising on it in the bubble. I mean, with all due respect, these guys have been pushing Cyrus.
Yeah.
And then in the offseason, they've lost a key piece.
In
P.J. Tucker, who's going to the Sixers, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big piece to miss. They've got Jimmy Butler. They've still got Bam Bam, one of our favorites.
Yeah, Bam Adebayo.
They've still got Tyler Hero.
Yeah, for now.
Duncan Robinson, who was given a lot of money, didn't play much last season, didn't show us much.
Shockingly, yeah.
And your one of your favorites,
Strus,
looks really solid.
Gabe Vincent
looks solid. So, Cyrus, I think they just need a solid four. Because
so you say four as in like as a power forward,
a power forward. Because like does Dwayne Dedman play at four?
Yeah,
but
Dwayne Dedman's not that guy.
That's what I'm saying. Like they need a solid four. Are there any fours available?
Well, it depends because for me, Bam should be playing four more than five.
More than five
because at five he's kind of undersized at 6'9", even though he plays bigger, right?
But let me throw something out there.
Mm-hmm.
Remaining 2022 NBA free agents, one Montrezl Harrell hasn't
yet
made a decision.
There are also off the court issues with Montrezl.
I haven't kept up with that.
I think it's a DUI case. I'm not 100% sure that he's having to deal with. But he's got his let's call them legal battles.
He's got his legal battles.
Yeah.
But dude, like, can you imagine Montrezl? At the Heat?
No, felony drug charges is what he's facing at the moment.
Ah.
After being caught with some marijuana at a traffic stop. So,
I'm
not sure what the situation is around that. Mm-hmm. I like Montrezl Harrell. I think he'd be fantastic at the Heat.
As a replacement for PJ, you know, he's also got that PJ mentality.
The biggest problem is PJ Tucker gives you shooting. Uh-huh. Montrezl Harrell does not.
But he gives you a heck of a lot of rebounding, Cyrus.
Effort-wise, yes.
Offense but, and defense. And
but I think if
he rebounds and dishes to a shooter,
I just don't think that Montrezl Harrell's the guy that will definitely fix what they need fixed. And the reality for me is, I think they're looking for more of a scoring punch in some sense. Mm-hmm. Yes, they've got Kyle Lowry.
I was about to say, how disrespectful are we that we haven't mentioned Kyle Lowry?
Kyle Lowry's there, but he's not a young Kyle Lowry. And he was banged up in the postseason last season. You just don't know what you're going to get with some of these older guys as they try to struggle. You know, they struggle to come back from taking these knocks.
True.
So, I think that the Heat will, that's why they've always been linked with somebody like Donovan Mitchell. Is that they might need more guard help, somebody to give them a little bit more scoring.
But hold up, have you been watching the Victor Oladipo videos?
So Vic was there last season,
brother. Yeah, and he signed back.
And he signed. Back. No. I'm with you.
And he's looking mighty solid. Out there on those workout videos.
I think, yeah, those videos are always edited to make a person look better, but...
No, but look.
You know I love Victor Oladipo, right?
Yeah.
He's not the same Victor Oladipo as we've known.
Like post-injury.
Yeah. He's just missing a little bit, whether it's a step or his eye's not in, but he's just not being the same.
Mm-hmm.
Them retaining him is a fantastic move because it doesn't give them any pressure to look for people to come off the bench. Vic's not going to start for this team.
Not anymore, no.
And so that's what I think they're looking for, is one other starter or a star player to try and bring in. Somebody who could do something for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they like players who have been counted out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start naming some really interesting potential prospects.
Hit us with
here,
it,
Cyrus.
Right?
You mentioned this
it.
One guy, this kid who plays in Cleveland, who could
Colin
be available.
Colin Sexton.
Now, you tell me Colin Sexton couldn't be an interesting addition on the Miami Heat. He plays with pace. He's got a lot of fire in the belly. And he's the kind of guy who, given the right environment, working with a Jimmy Butler and what have you, could raise his game to the next level. I like the idea of Colin Sexton potentially being on the Miami Heat.
Cyrus, he was once part of, before the injury and stuff, of course, he was once part of the 1-2 punch in Cleveland alongside Darius Garland.
Yeah.
They made up Sexyland, if you remember.
Yeah, yeah. And, who could forget?
And he gives you 16-3-2, which is 16 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists per game as an average. That's what he averaged 2021-2022 season. That's not a bad call, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, look, I tend to look at some of these guys and think there are people who are on the fringes of certain teams who could potentially be worth looking at. And another team that's also looking to offload some players is the Atlanta Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, who did they sign recently? From DeJounte Murray from the Spurs.
From the Spurs, yeah.
So, you know, they are possibly looking at getting rid of somebody like Bogdan Bogdanovic. And, you know, somebody like Miami could look at him and say, well, he does shoot the ball while he's 29, but, you know, he's the kind of guy who could give us some real minutes. And the other thing that you also have to look at is one of our African brothers in Clint Capela is always being brought up in conversations for trades.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Capela could be somebody who could end up in Miami. And, you know, he's a great, great pick and roll player. He sets good screens, finishes at the rim. Obviously, he's a shot blocker. Lost a little bit last season, but in Miami could be really, really great. And him and Bam Adebayo next to each other could also, you know, up that defensive stakes a little bit.
Wow. And he's got Congolese roots.
Yeah.
So you get that.
That African link at Miami stays there.
You get that Jollof meets Nshima. Because, you know, he's in Congo. So yeah, he's got that Nshima effect.
Yeah.
In him. So you got the Jollof meets Nshima. Cyrus could be a problem.
Yeah. But we're not saying. I mean, look, there's talks of John Collins potentially leaving. And you mentioned a 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, John Collins, you know, to Miami could also look quite nice.
Because they could use a guard. Or a power forward.
Yeah.
But I think more of a power forward than a guard.
And yet I'm feeling like guard depth is where they really need to focus.
Because if you look at the fact that they've got a Kyle Lowry, an experienced guard, right?
Yeah.
Vic is also becoming an experienced guard, although, like you said, his performance has taken a bit of a dip. So there they've got some pretty good talent. But when you look at the big guys, they need some big guys.
I think the Heat, and this is why we bring them up, and this is why we're saying people need to look out for them. The Heat need a few more pieces across the squad.
So it's not just
I don't think it's just one front court.
It's like a combination of.
So I'm going to bring up some names for you, right? Because we're talking about teams who are currently rebuilding,
mm-hmm.
And the Utah Jazz have got Jordan Clarkson. And he could give you a really good scoring punch off the bench. He's a former Sixth Man of the Year.
Yep.
He's been out there balling insanely. So, you know, when you look at it, because the Heat really fell apart in the scoring mistakes in the postseason, that I think that somebody like Clarkson could be a really good fit for them.
I'm not mad at Clarkson. He's getting there in the age department, with all due respect.
How old do you think he is?
Isn't he like 30 now?
Yeah, he's 30.
Yeah.
That's not really, I mean.
Look, he's not LeBron, but.
He's not Kyle Lowry.
You know what I'm saying? But look, yeah, I'm not mad at it.
I'd look at Clarkson and I think that he'd be a good fit in Miami. But yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why we got to look at the Heat. So let's round off all of this discussion with a chat about the Mavs.
The Dallas Mavericks.
I think the Dallas Mavericks are in a very sticky situation right now. You know, Jalen Brunson was really important for them.
Mm-hmm.
Though he wasn't one of those where everyone was like, oh my God, Jalen Brunson, he's so good. He had all eyes on him in the postseason.
Yep.
But they're still missing some guard play. Like, I know I've spoken to a few people who talked about the fact that yes, the Mavs will still, they've got Spencer Dinwiddie and he looked good in stretches last season.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got Tim Hardaway Jr. coming back, injured. And so that's going to be important.
And they got Luka with a new sneaker.
No. Luka goes without saying, right?
I've got an honorable mention. Remind me about new sneaker situations.
But
let's talk about the Mavs first.
Okay. The other guy that I've loved seeing him have a bit of a comeback is Frank Ntilikina, who's been showing some of his defensive chops. He's never going to be a major star in Dallas, but it says to me though, that although the Mavericks have signed Christian Wood, who'll be pretty good for them,
mm-hmm.
they do need a little bit more shooting. They show that they struggled with that, in the postseason last season, and probably a guard, somebody to really, you know, help Luka with the rock, because Luka does everything for that team. So they need somebody who can come in, handle the rock, and try and facilitate for everybody else. So I think the Mavericks are a team to really look out for.
Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Because we love Africa, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes all the time you and I love a comeback story.
Yes.
What if the Dallas Mavs, now don't judge me.
I might.
Reached out to one Dennis Schroeder. To come off the bench and handle the rock a little bit when Luka needs a bit of rest, because he was good in LA. I mean, in
ATL, Atlanta. He wasn't bad in Boston.
He wasn't bad in Boston. He wasn't even bad in LA. It was just a circumstance thing. So now he's at the Rockets, and he really needs a comeback story.
Kaunda. I like that a lot.
I'm just saying.
I like
that a lot.
They've
got Luka. All they need is to utilize Dennis Schroeder.
And the European connection.
Boom.
You know, I mean, obviously he's our African brother, but you know, he's German.
He's also got the German connection.
Not to say that, you know, like, oh, because, but the Mavericks tend to sign a lot of Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
True, they're paler Europeans, but, Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
You know, somehow you've talked me into thinking Dennis Schroeder and Luka Doncic backcourt might be a really fun thing to watch.
Not even them on the floor at the same time.
Kaunda. I like it.
There you go.
I like it. I think the air stopped, you know, like everything was like, whoa, that could be a good call.
I just had to throw my man Dennis in there.
No, I like it. I like it. And you know what, though? And this is something that we like about, you know, what we do, is the sense that sometimes we think about players who the world has forgotten, because Dennis Schroeder is not a terrible player.
No,
he
not
just
at
had
all.
A bad time. He bet on himself, and that bet backfired.
That's the
and
only thing.
And people clowned him on that. And, and he had a good sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
But he's still a great professional.
Yep.
He'd go out there, do a really good job. And there are a list of free agents who could actually go to teams like Dallas.
Yeah. He's an African Game alumni.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
African
Game alumni. You know, we love them all. I like that. I think people should be looking for the Mavs, because I think the Mavs have to make at least one more trade, possibly two, because they were really showed up and they need to find something to take them to a different level, not necessarily just to keep them on the same level. Yes, it's time for you to go into your honorable mentions calendar.
You know, one of my favorite players will always be Ja Morant.
Yeah.
But there's a guy who was drafted before Ja Morant, and he's on the way back.
Uh-huh.
And he's got his new sneaker that came out recently, the Zion 2. I think this is somebody we need to watch very closely.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He's going to show why, if he wasn't injured, he would have potentially been the rookie of the year.
Look, no question, Zion is going to be that guy. I will say this, though. The thing with Zion is that it's a story not just of Zion, but of the Pelicans.
Yes.
Because when Zion comes back, and we hope that he's back fit, he's only 22 years old, but we hope he's back fit, in great shape, he can add to that Pelicans team and make them something massively incredible.
Cyrus, he's so dominant in the paint.
He's just dominant everywhere.
He jumps, he shoots. Cyrus, I think...
He'd take your lunch.
Yeah, he's not an off-season story because nobody's trading him and he's not going anywhere. Yeah. But
signed a contract extension.
So I'm just saying, when he comes back, and you should take a look at those Zion 2s. I think even you would wear the Zion 2s.
Maybe.
I know you. You don't like loud sneakers. You don't like over the top stuff. Yeah. But the colorways are good. I think him and his new sneaker are going to say something this coming season.
Okay, look, I like that. I mean, Zion's one that, as a storyline, and him and with the Pelicans, we have to keep an eye on them. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. I think that's going to be a really important one. Counter, yeah, you've nailed a really good story arc there. I think that's something everybody who's listening has to look out for.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I want to do, just to round off the entire show itself, is to go through some of the stuff on Betcoza.
All right.
So people know this, you know, even though there isn't live NBA action at the moment and Summer League's done, which was fun, by the way.
Oh.
Really enjoyed watching Summer League.
Big shout out to Portland.
Yeah.
Did they get the first rings? They got the first rings, I think those are the only rings in Portland at the moment. sorry, Portland. It hurts, but it's true.
So, you know, there are outright bets you can take now. You can take some bets on who can be champions, who will be the regular season MVP, conference winners, rookies of the year, defensive player of the year, coach of the year. There's a lot of different categories you can actually look at. For me, I'm looking at these odds and I'm thinking, it's incredible that right now the Boston Celtics have the best odds to win the NBA championship next season at 5-1.
I hope they beat the Warriors if they do.
Followed by the Warriors at 6-1, who also have the same odds as the Clippers.
Oh, snap. Hello, John Wall.
So that's really interesting because clearly the bookmakers are saying the Clippers are a team we should be looking out for. And, yeah, look out for any more Clippers storylines. There's going to be a lot coming
up. Look, Kawhi back healthy, PG healthy.
John Wall added to the roster. Yeah,
could do something.
Could be interesting. Then you've got the Milwaukee Bucks at 7-1, who for me would be great odds to win the championship. If you're looking for some real outside long shots here, Brooklyn is at 15-1. And that's because everybody's looking at them saying, yeah, they're all going to go their separate ways and nothing's going to happen. But who knows? They could just bury all of that stuff and just say one last dance.
The last dance.
It would be the worst last dance. But yeah. And the Denver Nuggets. They're at 16-1. They've got great odds if you're looking for a team who didn't have most of their superstars back. They've actually added some great players to their roster. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, KCP, and I think Ish Smith has also gone there.
Yep.
So they've got some backcourt help. Jamal Murray will be back. They thankfully don't have Austin Rivers on the roster. Yeah, I'm just being really mean. Sorry, Austin Rivers. But yeah, I think that if you're looking for outright bets for champions, those are some really good stakes. And MVP, who do you think the favorite to win MVP next season is? I'll give you the odds. The odds are 9-2 to win MVP.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
No. Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic. Wow.
He is the odds on favorite to win MVP. You mentioned Giannis. He's at 7-1. Those are the third best odds. Mm. Behind Luka is Joel Embiid.
Wow.
At 13-2.
I am mad at Joel.
So, you know, if you're looking at that, you could also look at, so there's a couple of guys on 12-1. That's Jason Tatum, Nikola Jokic, and Ja Morant. Ja Morant's also a nice, tasty outside bet. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry at 17-1 is an interesting one. LeBron James at 18-1 is also really interesting. So if you're looking for like really early potential contenders for MVP, there's some really, really good names here. I'm going to throw one out there. I think that everybody needs to look out for, and I don't think it's going to be Nikola Jokic, but I do think, for me, it's always Giannis. Bet on Giannis first at 7-1. You could really do quite well. I mean, if we're saying a 10 rand bet now could net you $80. If you drop a cool 100 rand, that gets you $800. But I would potentially go with Jason Tatum at 12-1. And, you put down $100, you'll get 1,300 rand back. That's a good one. I'm going to go to the Rookie of the Year as the last one to really look out for, because this is always one of my favorites.
I'm putting down a bet today.
Do it. I've already done mine, my outright bet for Rookie of the Year. I've got an outside, so I've got one who I think is the favorite and one who I think is going to be right up there. So my pick as the favorite is Paolo Banchero.
Yeah, I'm going to do Paolo too.
Now, interestingly, him and Chet Holmgren have the very same odds. They're the favorites to win it. Mm-hmm. They're at 7-2. So Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren, they'd net you a fairly decent return. $10 on either one of those will net you $45 now.
Okay.
And then, you can go and check out the rest of the odds. But for me, I like a bit of a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
I called Scotty Barnes last year, and he won me some money.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan Murray from the Sacramento Kings. His odds are 15-1. $10 on him nets you $85. So if you're feeling a little frisky and you put 100 down, you get 850 back. Keegan Murray's a good one.
My second bet is going to be Jabari Smith.
Jabari Smith Jr.
Yep.
Odds are 13-2. $10 on him nets you 75. So if you're going for that honey,
I'm gonna put a straight 100 on Jabari Smith as my second bet, but my
first
100 is going straight up on Paolo Banchero.
I think he hasn't even played an NBA game yet. It's just somebody.
But I can see it. I
saw it immediately. I was like, wow, this guy. Wow. He looks so, so dominant. But just remember, everybody, no persons under the age of 18 years are permitted to gamble. Winners know when to stop. There is a national responsible gambling program. You can get in touch with them on 0800-006-008 or WhatsApp help on 076-675-0710. All of those numbers are in South Africa. Kaunda Chama, we've come to the end of the season of the Post-Up Podcast.
Yes, it's been emotional.
It has. Highs, lows, we've had...
Mids.
Yeah, everything. Mid-range, long range.
Yeah.
Steph winning rings. What a way...
Wow, but Steph took home the entire cabinet, Cyrus.
Yeah, he did.
Look, first of all, let's go through Steph, because before we end it, dude, he won Eastern Conference... Western Conference player of the season, right?
Well, MVP.
Western Conference Finals MVP. He won All-Star
also
MVP,
known as the Magic Johnson Award.
Magic Johnson Award.
Yeah.
He won the Kobe Bryant All-Star MVP trophy.
Yeah.
He won Finals MVP.
Yeah.
He won the championship.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he broke Reggie Miller and Ray Allen's
3-point record.
3-point record. All in the same season.
Ray Allen, 3-point record. Gone and...
I'm the biggest LeBron fan, but I got to give this season to Steph. Like, yo, well done, man.
He was unbelievable. Those finals, he pulled that team through a lot of those games. So, yeah, we'll call it Steph's season is done.
Yeah, I think he deserves to rest.
And hosted the ESPYs. Yeah, he can now really take a rest.
He can take a rest now.
But
wow.
Yeah, a great, great season. Kaunda, it's been fantastic. We might do an emergency pod if something major happens, like if we said LeBron retirement or LeBron trade or KD trade or Kyrie retirement or Kyrie trade. We might be back for all of you guys. But hit us up on our socials. We're still going to be active there.
Straight
at Post Up Podcast on Twitter, at Post Up Zone on Facebook, and at Post Up Zone on Instagram. Thank you, everybody, for listening. From me, Cyrus Rogers.
And from me, Kaunda Chama.
It is goodbye, and we will see you on the flip side.